Hello and welcome to Connect Learning. It's Friday, April 15th, 2005.
Springtime out there. Springtime. It's springtime. It's springtime.
I had a fabulous time yesterday attending Granville County School's third annual Tech Expo. I want to tell you all about it, but first, in my last podcast, I alluded to something that is actually quite central to my work right now. Now, we were talking about No Child Left Behind and the ways that it is succeeding in providing educational experiences for students who were not being taught basic literacy skills before the legislation. As I said then, one of my objections to No Child Left Behind is its vision of literacy. There are four questions that I like to think about as an educator: the who, what, how, and how well. Who do we teach? And we pretty much decided in the last decade that all children can and should learn. What do we teach them? How do we teach it? And how well have we succeeded? Now, as I said last week, the major focus in my country is the how well question. And as I said before, this is a critical question, not just at the end of the school year, but every single day. But in my opinion, it's a premature question. Because we live in a time of rapid change. I don't have to tell you that. But it is essential that we as educators and as a progressive society try to wrap our minds around exactly how things are changing. We have spent a great deal of time and money considering, purchasing, and integrating new technologies into our classrooms. We're trying to improve teaching and learning. We're trying to make teaching and learning more relevant to our students' world and future. But I submit that perhaps the more important point of focus should be on information, not the technology. Technologies are merely the new paper and pen that we're working with. They are the tools, and they're changing almost too fast to keep up with. But I think driving education reform may best be navigated by watching the information, not the technology. The fact is that the very nature of information has changed dramatically in just the last 10 years. It's changed in what it looks like, it's changed in what we look at to view it, where and how we find it, what we can do with it, how we communicate it. Information when I was coming up in school in the 50s and 60s was printed on paper at great expense. It was something that you mostly purchased, and in order to share it, you shared paper. Most information had to be carried. Today, information is increasingly digital and networked, and in the near future, it will be almost exclusively digital and networked. We as educators need to be reflecting on what this means in terms of society, economics, recreation, family, and almost all other aspects of 21st century life. More important to us as educators and those concerned with education is what does this mean in terms of what and how our children learn. In the next few episodes of Connect Learning, we're going to address a number of questions, including what does it mean to be a reader when most of the information that we view is networked? What does it mean to be a processor of information when information is increasingly digital? What does it mean to be a communicator when our messages must compete for the attention of our viewers among all the other messages that are out there? What are the ethical implications of this new information environment? And what is the new imperative with regards to the who question in education? But for now, let's go up Highway 50 and 15 to Oxford, North Carolina, at Granville County Schools Tech Expo. It was a very nice drive up through the country to this beautiful rural county bordering Virginia. I know a number of the people with the school district there because I was director of technology in the county just west of them about 15 years ago. As I drove into the parking lot of Webb High School, I was, frankly, surprised at the overflow of cars parked on the road and using the secondary lots down the hill. I was met in the lobby by a very friendly high school student who handed me a program, pointed to the exhibit area and the map of the exhibit area, and invited me to have some refreshments before I went into the gym. Again, as I stepped into the gymnasium, I was surprised. I have not seen a more packed exhibitors hall in any state or national conference. The place was buzzing with activity, and I could tell right away that navigating among all the exhibits was not going to be simple. After breaking away from some old friends who I saw right away, I headed down the far right aisle, and the first exhibit that caught my eye was a middle school where the students had worked with standard software to produce their own school yearbook. The middle school students at the table were busy formatting some of the pages and processing pictures to go into the pages using Photoshop, and that's enough to impress the socks off of me, middle school students using Photoshop. I decided coming up that I was not going to interview students. As much as I'd love to and as much as you'd learn from it, I decided not to. But this school's media specialist, Jim White, came up just then and talked about the project. So let's listen to what Jim had to say.
Talking with Jim White, who is media specialist at what school, Jim?
At Holly Middle School.
Holly Middle School. And Jim was just showing me, and some of his students were showing me about how they had used technology in order to develop their own yearbook. Tell us a little bit about it, Jim.
Well, our students, and we have a sixth grader and an eighth grader with us here today, basically planned, designed, and produced their yearbook. They used, it was all done on computer, using Tempo software by Taylor Publishing as a layout tool or a desktop publishing device. They used digital cameras and Photoshop to edit their photographs by sizing color contrast, color balance, all that they worked on. And spreadsheets came into play as they marketed the yearbook. They kept up with their own sales so they could chart and they knew how much the yearbook was going to cost, how many they had to sell, so they could keep up with their numbers. So it's just like a business.
And what was the tipping point? How many did they have to sell in order to make a profit?
We plan to sell 375. Our break-even point is a little under 300.
So, and they made it.
They will make it. We were above where we needed to be at the end of the cutoff sales. And each year there are the extra sales that come right at the end of the year when people who didn't buy really want one, and we usually sell out. So we'll exceed our goals.
And who's buying these books?
These are almost all always students, although we have a number of faculty who buy as well.
Are you marketing them through your website?
We are not this year marketing through the website. We sent student teams around to each homeroom. So it was a very person-to-person sales-directed effort.
Outstanding. Let me ask you one more question. What do the students get out of this?
Well, students learn a lot. I mean, the computer competency just goes up tremendously because they love to dig in to each of these applications and find out how to maximize it. How can I make this picture better for the yearbook? And there are also a lot of pride that goes into it because they have to think for the entire group. They're putting out a product that represents the entire school. So it's a select group of students who's trying to represent the entire student body and show no clicks, show everything that goes on. And I think they've done a marvelous job of including everyone and really giving a flavor of Holly Middle School.
Outstanding. Wonderful, wonderful.
Another exhibit that impressed me immediately was an elementary school that had been awarded a grant to purchase handheld computers. What fascinated me about the program was that they were using these machines and Skype software in order to carry out ongoing conversations. They were mainly applying the technology to assisting ESL students in developing their language skills. It was then that Granville County School Superintendent Tom Williams came up, and he agreed to talk to me and you about the event. So here's Mr. Williams.
Superintendent of Granville County Schools, Tom Williams. I'd like for Tom to tell us a little bit about this event.
Well, David, this is the third annual Granville County Technology Expo, which is a shared knowledge environment where our kindergarten through 12th grade students come together and demonstrate for our public and share with each other how they're using technology to learn. So it's basically just a shared knowledge environment. We do it every year. Our Granville Ed Foundation co-sponsors it with our school system. We've got everything here from third graders that are using Skype to talk to folks around the world free of charge to our outstanding J.F. Webb High School robotics team that competes annually each year in the FIRST Robotics. It was created by Dean Kamen as a way to get more students to understand the importance of technology. So Rick Sheldahl students are responsible for this. They've competed three times now. I think there are three teams from North Carolina that participate every year, and we're very proud of them. And everything in between our digital yearbook programs to everything, our corporate sponsors, Selectron, Time Warner Cable, Revlon, Johnson Controls, and one of our key technical resource partners in human resources, the Federal Corrections Center in Butner, North Carolina. There's about six of their guys running around here supporting us today.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. This is Butner Councilman John Wimbush.
John, how are you?
This is Mr. David Warlick.
David Warlick.
He's a friend of mine, and he'd like to get your reaction to about what you see the students and the teachers doing here today.
Well, I'm just getting here, but however, from the past, I know it's great, because it have always been, and I believe it will always be that way as long as it's happening in Granville County.
That's right.
We have chose good superintendents, and I just believe we will continue to do that. So I'm just looking forward to it for years and years. And if he got a little something to give me,
Councilman, I got a little cash in here. Thanks, John.
Okay, all right.
And David, we appreciate you being here today.
Great to be here. Where you come to see magic.
There's no judging. There's no awards. Every student's going to get recognized. We've got some gifts for them from donations from businesses and others, and it's all about learning together.
Much of the attention was around the robotics team. Now, a group of students at Webb High School compete each year in a national robotics competition. According to their teacher, who unfortunately I did not record, they are given a different task each year, and they purchase a kit of electronics, motors, and other technologies in order to build the robot that will achieve that task. The teacher emphasized that he did not teach these students. They taught themselves. He said he served as a coach and consultant. He pointed out a number of students and listed the skills and technologies that they were better at than he was. And he added that many of these students were not what you would call good students in the academic subjects. A lot of the classes were using video photography and editing to create learning experiences. Robin Bowles, who is a media specialist at one of the middle schools, helped some of her struggling fifth graders to produce tutorial videos to help the local third graders in preparing for their EOGs, North Carolina State Test, in geometry. Again, powerful learning and self-teaching. Let's hear what Robin had to say.
She was telling me about a program at Hearst Elementary School just tell us about it, Robin.
Well, what we did was we had our fifth graders create instructional videos on recognizing geometric shapes for third grade integrated test review. I'm not big on teaching to the test, but our curriculum, the curriculum that we use, does not cover geometry particularly well, and our students sometimes have problems with geometric figures and shapes. So our fifth graders, I gave them a list of the things that they were to do. They were to cover circles and squares and how to do perimeter and how to do area. And then the fifth grade students, that's all the direction that I gave them. They could choose any way they wanted to create their instructional video. Some of them did a newscast. Some of them did a game show. You know, and everybody has done it a little bit differently. And they've had a wonderful time doing it. And when it comes to the end of grade test, these kids are going to ace the geometry thing. And I think our third graders will too.
Fabulous. So the kids were the teachers.
The kids were the teachers. And we're going to have a little Academy Awards celebration at the end of the year, which I also wrote the money for into the grant, so that the fifth graders will get rewarded for having been the teachers.
Thank you, Gordon.
There was so much that there is no way that I can describe it all. The last booth that I visited was the middle school band class, naturally. Several of the band classes across the county have Mac PowerBooks and with EyeSight cameras. So they're using this video conferencing with these computers to team teach. The band teachers have specialties. The teacher I was talking with talked about how he played trumpet, but he pointed out some of the other teachers who were specialists in the flute and other instruments, and that they collaborated in teaching students in their areas of expertise. He said that they were hoping next year to have virtual concerts where students, teams of students, would perform together via the teleconferencing and they would record it. Well, that's enough for now, and it was a very good week, mostly at home working in my office and enjoying the blazing azaleas that are now at their peak. Go to the Connect Learning weblog for some pictures. That's http://davidwarlick.com/podcasts. I also urge you to contact me with questions and issues that you'd like for me to discuss. You can email me at david.warlick@gmail.com, or you can send me an audio file by calling 206-888-2967. Or you can come to the Connect Learning weblog and leave a comment. But until then, I bid you all adieu.